This week we are we'll read chapter 4, Jnana Yoga, the path of knowledge. Sri Bhagavan Vacha Imam Vishvasvate Yogam Proktavam Aham Avayam Vivashvan Manave Partamanur Ishvakave Bravit. Sri Bhagavan Uvacha Imam Vivashvate Yogam Proktavam Aham Avyayam Vivashvan Manave Praha Manur Ikshvakave Bravit. The Supreme Lord said, I imparted this imperishable yoga of knowledge achieved by selfless action to Surya, the presiding deity of the sun. Surya taught it to his son Vaivashvata Manu, who passed it on to his son Ikshvaku. Evam parampara praptam imam raja shayo vidhu sakalena mahat yoga nashta parantapa. Evam parampara praptam imam raja shayo vidhu sakaleneha mahata yoga nashta parantapa. O conqueror of the enemy, thus the saintly kings such as Nimi, Jana, and others learned this yoga which was passed down to them by disciplic succession. But in course of time, this teaching has been lost. Sa evayam maya tedya yoga prota puratana bhaktosi me saka cheti rahasyam hi etad uttamam. Sa evayam maya tedya yoga prokta parantana bhaktosimi saka cheti rahasyam hi etad uttamam. As you are my devotee and friend, I now reveal to you this supreme secret, the eternal yoga. Arjuna uvacha aparam bhavato janma param janma vivashvata kataham etad vijjaniyam tvam ado proktavam iti. Arjuna uvacha aparam bhavato janma param janma vivashvata kataham etad vijjaniyam tvam ado proktavam iti. Arjuna said, Vivashan, the sun god, was born in ancient times, long before you were. Therefore, how am I to consider that you previously gave these teachings to him? Sri Bhagavan Uvacha Bahuni me yatitani janmani tavacharjuna chanyaham veda sarvani natam veta parantapa. Sri Bhagavan Uvacha Bahuni me vyatitani janmani tavacharjuna chanyaham veda sarvani natam veta parantapa. The Supreme Lord said, O chastiser of the enemy, both you and I have passed through many births. I can remember all of them, whereas you, O Arjun, cannot. Agyopisan avyatma bhutanam ishwaropisan prakritim swam adhisthaya sambhavami atma mayaya. Agyopisan avyatma bhutanam ishwaropisan prakritim swam adhisthaya sambhavam yatma mayaya. Although my eternal form is transcendental to birth and death, and I am the Lord of all beings, I appear within the world in my divine nature by my sweet will, extending my internal potency. Yada yada hi dharmasya glanir bhavati bharata abhyutanam adharmasya tadadatman sirjamyaham. Yada yada hi dharmasya glanir bhavati bharata abhyutanam adharmasya tadatman sirjamyaham. O Bharat, whenever there is a decline of religion and an uprising of irreligion, I personally make my advent. Paritanaya sadunam vinishaya chaduskritam dharma samstapanataya sambhavami juge juge. Paritanaya sadunam vinishaya chaduskritam Dharma Sanstapanartaya Sambhavami Yuge Yuge. I appear age after age to deliver the saintly devotees, vanquish the miscreants, and firmly establish true religion. Janma karma cha me divyam evam yo vetitatrata chakvadeham punar janma naitimam etisarajuna. Janma karma cha me divyam evam yo vetitatvata chakvadeham punar janma naitimam etisarajuna. O Arjuna, one who comes to know thus the truth of my pastimes of divine birth and activities does not undergo rebirth. After giving up this body, he attains me. My grace is revealed to him as my personal transcendental joyful potency, Hladini Shakti. His heart is melted in divine love, and he attains my eternal devotional service. Bittaraga baya kroda mamaya mam upashrita bahavo janma tapasa putamad bhavamagata. Bittaraga baya kroda mamaya mam upashrita bahavo janma tapasa putamad bhavamagata. Free from attachment, fear, and anger, many persons have taken shelter in me, absorbing their hearts in my services, hearing, chanting, and remembering. Purified by knowledge and the fire of ordeal in my service, they attain divine love for me. Jejatamam prapadyante tamstataiva bhajamyaham mamavartmanuvartante manushyaparta savasa. Yeyatamam prapadyante tamstataiva bhajamyaham mamavartmanuvartante manushyaparta sarvasa. Howsoever people surrender to me, I accordingly reward them. Being the ultimate goal of all paths, I am the objective to be attained by all. O Partha, all men follow my various paths. Kankanta karmanam siddhim yajanta iha devata kipram hi manushe loke siddhir bhavati karmaja. Kankanta karmanam siddhim yajanta iha devata kipram hi manushe loke siddhir bhavati karmaja. Persons who desire the fruit of their actions worship the gods, since in the human plane actions swiftly bear fruit. Chattavarnyam maya shristam guna karma vibhagasha tasya kartaram apimam vidya akartaram avyayam. Chaturvanyam maya shristam guna karma vibhagasha tasya kartaram apimam vidya kartaram avyayam. The four social divisions classified according to the material modes of nature and corresponding activities are made manifest by me. Although I am the doer of this, know me to be the non-doer and unchangeable. Namam karmani limpanti neme karma phale spriha itimam yo bijananti karma bina sabadyate. Namam karmani limpanti name karma phale spriha itimam yo bijanati karma bina sabadyate. I am never implicated by action, nor do I desire the fruit of action. One who knows me thus as the Supreme Lord's transcendental to worldly action is never bound by action. Evam gatva kritam karma purverapi mamukshubai kuru karma eva tasmatvam purvai purvataram kritam. Evam gatva kritam karma purverapi mamukshubai kuru karma eva tasmatvam purvai purvataram kritam. Knowing this basic principle, seekers of liberation in previous times renounced all fruitive work and performed their duties as a selfless offering to me. Likewise, you should adopt this yoga of selfless action, as did the great saintly persons of yore. Kim karma kim karmeti kavayo pyarta mohita tatte karma pravashyami yajyatva mokshase subhat. Kim karma kim karmeti kavayo pyarta mohita tatte karma pravashyami yajyatva mokshase subhat. What is action? What is inaction? Even the learned have difficulty understanding this. Hence, I shall enlighten you in this matter, knowing which you will be liberated from inauspiciousness. Karmano hi yapi bodhabhyam bodhabhyam cha vikarmana akarmanascha bodhavyam gana karmano gati. Karmano hi yapi bodhabhyam bodhavyam cha vikarana akarmanas chabodhavyam gana karmano gati. The true nature of action is difficult to comprehend. One should understand prescribed action, prohibited action, and inaction. Karmani akarma ja pasyed akarmani cha karma jaha sabuddhimam manusheshu sajukta krishna karma krit. Karmanya karmaya asyeda karmanicha karmanaya sabuddhima manusheshu sayukta krishna karma krit. One who sees action within action and inaction within action is wise among men. He is a yogi and a performer of all actions. Yasya sarve samarambha kama sankalpa varjita Gyanagni dagda karmanam tamahu panditam buddha. Yasya sarve saram ramba karma sankalpa varjita yagyagni dagda karmanam tamahu panditam buddha. One whose every action is without fruited desire and who burns all action in the fire of knowledge is described by the wise as learned. Jakva karma phala sangam nitya tripto nirashraya kamanyabi pravrittopi naiva kinchit karotisha. Jakva karma praval sangam nitya tripto nirashraya kamanyabi pravrittopi naiva kinchit karotisha. Such a person giving up attachment to the fruits of action, fully content in the eternal bliss within, and free from mundane dependence, though fully active, does nothing at all. Nirashir jata chittatma chakta sarva parigraha shariram kevalam karma kurvam apnoti kilbisham.
Nirashir jata chittatma chakta sarva parigraha shariram kevalam karma.
Desireless, controlling mind and body by the intelligence, and renouncing all possessiveness in acquisition, no sinful or pious reaction is incurred by such a person who may act to acquire mundane objects merely for his bodily sustenance.
Yadriccha labasantusto dvandvatito vimatsara sammasiddha vasiddhocha kritvapi na nibadhyate yadriccha labha santushto dvandvatito vitamsaram sammasiddha vasiddhocha kritvapi na vibhidyate.
Content with whatever is readily available and unaffected by dualities of pleasure, pain, attraction and aversion, such a person has no envy. He is equiposed, neither elated nor dejected in success or failure. Though active, he is not bound by any action.
Gata sangasya muktasya jnana vyastita chetasa yagyatya charata karma samagram pravilirayate. Gata sangasya muktasya jnana vasitya cetasa yagyacharyata karma
samagram pravilayate. For one who is detached, enlightened, and liberated, all his actions performed in the spirit of sacrifice are perfectly dissipated. Commentary by Srila Sridhar Maharaj. The actions of one practicing the yoga of selfless action do not lead to apurva, as considered by the philosophers known as karma mimamsaka. According to their ethical yet atheistic ideology, the karma mimamsakas, or mundane rationalists, claim that pious actions produce an unseen subtle potency known as apurva, which must fructify at the appropriate time after death. Their conception that this fruit can later be shared by others is meant to show the eternality of karma or action, but it ignores the presence of the supreme autocrat. So the statement of Sri Krishna, samagram pravilyate, all actions are dissipated, ought not to be misinterpreted to mean that the actions of liberated souls cause some such remote worldly consequence or apurva. Rather, the Lord indicates that the actions offered to him by the selfless karma yogi do not cause any subsequent reaction to be either enjoyed or suffered by others in this mundane plane. Brahmarpanam brahmahavir brahmagno brahmana hutam brahmaivatena gantabhyam brahma karma samandina brahmarpanam brahmah brahmagno brahmaham hutam brahmaivatena gantabhyam brahma karma samadina. The ladle is Brahma. The oblation is Brahma, offered by Brahma into the fire of Brahma. One whose consciousness is fully absorbed in Brahma action certainly attains to Brahma the Absolute. Daivam eva pare yagyam yogina paryupashyate brahmagna vapare yagyam yagnenaiva vapuchuvati daivam eva pare yagyam yogina paryupashyate brahmagna vapare yagyam yajnenaiva phalochuvate. Some yogis offer sacrifices to the demigods, and others offer the self into the fire of Brahma by vibrating the pranav mantra Om. Srota dinidiri nanye samyuman nishujuvati sabdinta din vishayan anya indriyagna nishujuvati Srota dinindriyanyanye samyayam nishujuvati sabdam vishayamanya indriyagni shujuvati. Some offer their senses of hearing, touching, seeing, tasting and smelling into the fires of self-control, yet others offer the sense objects of sound, touch, form, taste and smell into the fire of the senses. Sarvanendriya karmani pranakarmani chapare atma samyama yogagno juvati gyanadipite Sarvanendriya karmani pranakarmani chapare atma samyama yogagno juvate gyanadipite. Again, there are the yogis who offer all the functions of the senses and the life forces into the yogic fire of self-purification ignited by knowledge. Drabhya yagya stapo yagya yogya yagya statapare svadhyaya jnana yagyascha jataya samsita brata. Drabhya yagya stapo yagya yogya yagya statapare svadhyaya jnana yagyascha jataya samisata vrata. Sincere in their practices and faithful to their vows, some persons sacrifice their possessions, some undergo strict penances as a sacrifice, some practice the eightfold mystic yoga as a sacrifice, and yet others perform knowledge sacrifice by singing and introspectively studying the Vedas. Apane jovati pranam prane panam tatapare pranapana gati rudva pranayama parayanaha apare niyatahara prana prane chujuvati apane juvati pranam prane panam tatapare prana pana gati rudva pranayama parayanaha apare niyatahara prana prane chujuvati. Others practice breath control, closing the right nostril and inhaling through the left. They bring the ascending air into union with the descending, closing the left nostril and exhaling through the right. They similarly offer the descending air into the ascending. Then closing both nostrils, they check both ascending and descending airs. Yet other practitioners of sense control offer all their senses into the life airs by reducing their food intake. Sarve piete yagya vidho yagya kaita kalmasa yagya shistamrita bujo yanti brahma sanatanam. Sarve piete yagya vidho yagya kaita kalmasa yagya shistamrita bujo yanti brahma sanatanam. All these persons are knowers of sacrifice, purified by sacrifice. Enjoying the nectarine remnants of sacrifice, they attain to the eternal plane of the Absolute. Nayam lokasyavagyasya kutunya kurusatatam. Nayana lokasyavagyasya kutunya kurusatatam. O Arjun, foremost of the Kurus, without sacrifice, one cannot attain fulfillment in this world, to say nothing of the next. Evam baho vidha yagya vittata brahmano muke karma jan viditan sarvam evam yatva vimokshase. Evam baho vidha yagya vittata brahmano muke karma jan viditan sarvam evam yatva vimokshase. Thus, many types of sacrifice are described in the Vedas and allied scriptures. Know that they are all accomplished through action of thought, word, and deed. Knowing this, you will be liberated from the bondage of action. Shreyan dravya mayad yagyaj jnana yagya parantapa sarvam karma kilam parta yagyane parishama pyate. Shreyan dravya mayad yagyaj jnana yagya parantapa sarvam kama kilam parta yane pari samapriyate. O Arjun, subduer of the enemy, knowledge sacrifice is superior to the sacrifice of material objects, because the perfection of all action, including its fruit, is its culmination in knowledge. Tadvidi pranipatena pariprashnena sevaya upadekyantite jnanam jnaninas tattvadarshina tadvidi pranipatena pariprashnena sevaya upadekyantite jnanam jnaninas tattvadarshina. You'll be able to attain knowledge by satisfying the Divine Master with submission, relevant inquiry, and sincere service. The enlightened souls who are learned in scriptural knowledge and endowed with direct realization of the Supreme Absolute Truth will impart divine knowledge to you. Yagyatta napuner moham evam yashyasi pandava yena bhutani sheshani drikshaya satmanyato mayi. Yagyatta napuner moham evam yashyasi pandava yena bhutani sheshani drakshasyatmanyato mayi. O Pandava, when you are enlightened by this knowledge of the reality, you will no longer be subject to your present illusion. You will see the one spiritual nature in all species of life, from highest to lowest, and that all are situated within me. Apiche rasi papebhyo bhya sarvebhya papakritama sarvam jnana plavenaiva vrijinam santarishyasi apichedashi papebhya sarvebhya papakritama Sarva Jnana Plavne Naiva Rijinam Santarishyasi. Even if you are the most sinful of all sinners, you will cross the ocean of sins by the boat of knowledge. Yatai Damsi Samidhognir Bash Masat Kurute Juna Gyan Gyanagni Sarvakarmani Bashmasat Kurute Tata Yatadidasi Samidhognir Bashamasat Kurute Juna Gyanagni Sarvakarmani Bashmasat Kurute Tata. As a blazing fire renders wood to ashes, O Arjuna, the fire of knowledge burns up all worldly actions. Nahi jnanena sadrisham pavitram iha vidyate tat svayam yoga sansidha kalenatmani vindati. Nahi jnanena sadrisham pavitram iha vidyate tat svayam yoga sansidha kalenatmani vindati. In this world, there is nothing as pure as knowledge. Eventually, a person who has achieved perfection in the yoga of selfless action naturally realizes this knowledge within his heart. Shradavan labhate jnanam tatpara samyatendriya jnanam labdva param shantim achiren adigachyati. Shradavan labhate jnanam tatpara samyatendriya jnanam pramantuman santim achiranadigachyati. It is the devoted, faithful, and sense-controlled person who attains knowledge. Achieving enlightenment, such a person soon attains the supreme peace. Agyascha shradayan danascha samsayatma vinashyati nayan lokasti na paro nasukam samasattamana sattamana. Agyascha shradadanascha samsayatma vinashyati nayam lokasti na paro nasukam samsayatmana. The ignorant, faithless, and doubting person is doomed to misfortune. For the doubting soul, there can never be happiness neither in this life nor the next. Yoga sanyasta karmanam jnana sanchinana sanshayam atmavantam na karmani nibhananti dananjaya. Yoga sanyasta karmanam jnana sanchinana sanshayam atmavantam na karmani nibhananti dananjaya. O Dananjay, renouncing all worldly actions by following the path of selfless action, one who severs all his doubts by knowledge and realizes his internal divine nature can never be bound by action. Tasmadagyana sambhutam ritstanam jnanisinatmana chitvainam samsayam yogam atito tishtakparata. Tasmadagyana sambhutam ritstanam jnanisinatmana chitvainam samsayam yogam atito tishta bharata. Therefore, O Bharat, with the sword of knowledge, slash to shreds all these doubts in your heart, which are born of ignorance. Take refuge in selfless action and arise for battle. Iti Sri Mahabharate Satta Sahasrayam Sahitayam Vaisheshikam Bhishma Parvani Sri Mad Bhagavad Gita Supanishatso Brahma Vidya Yoga Shastre Sri Krishna Arjuna Sambade Jnana Yoga Nama Chaturta Jayaha. End of the fourth chapter, The Path of Knowledge, from the conversation of Sri Krishna and Arjuna in Srimad Bhagavad Gita Upanishad, the yoga scripture of transcendental knowledge in Bhishma Parva of Sri Mahabharata, the holy scripture revealed by Srila Vyasadeva in 100,000 verses. So lots of famous verses in that chapter. Yada yada hi dharmasya. and so on. And maybe the most famous verses are there, actually. And of course, very important, Tadvidi Pranipartena Pariprasena Seva. Very important verse. So, here Krishna is explaining Jnana Yoga, or the path of knowledge. First of all, Krishna explains that he revealed this knowledge to Vivashvan, or Surja, the sun god, in ancient times, who passed it on to his son, and to his son, and so on. That is Evam Parampara Praptam. That's also a very famous verse. This knowledge descends through disciplic succession, but in time it becomes lost. It's the nature of this material world that even transcendental knowledge can become corrupted and lost in the course of time. And it's kind of Chinese whispers. Begins pure, and then it gradually, by the influence of time, it becomes vitiated and corrupted. That is also due to the purity of the receiver of that knowledge. We can hear something and understand it in various ways. The same thing. Different people will understand the same lesson, but with different conclusion, according to their level of realization. So it is told that Lord Brahma, when he was teaching his students, the question was asked, "Who am I?" And Lord Brahma's reply was, "You are the Atma." And it is told that Indra and the Devatas, they, hearing this reply, they understood, "I am the soul." Atma meaning the soul. But Virochana and the Asuras, when they heard this reply, they believed the answer to mean, "I am the body." Because Atma can mean body as well. Mind, body and spirit also all can be called Atma. So according to one's perception. So, and as you perceive it, that's how you'll teach it to others. So you can understand through the course of time, this knowledge can become corrupted and can become dissipated or lost in course of time. So then Krishna says, then when that happens, when irreligion becomes prevalent, and when religion becomes lost or corrupted, when people consider irreligion to be religion and religion to be irreligion, which is like now, people consider that mundane practices, rituals, and so on is religion. But actually, religion is not that. Real religion is about awakening the self to a higher state of understanding, and to be able to liberate oneself through the knowledge of the self. So this is the real purpose of religion. Religion is meant to teach us love, and not just love with a small L, but love with a capital L. Love divine, love for the Lord. And naturally, when you love the Lord, you love all of His creation also. Otherwise, love will only be partial. So we see that so many so-called followers of various religions, they love one camp and hate another camp. Not only hate another camp, but think it's their religious duty to kill those people or persecute those people. So this is what Krishna is speaking about. He says that the demonic, they persecute those who are saintly, who are trying to practice and preach divine love. They are persecuted by the wicked. At that time, I manifest myself in the world to protect my devotees, to annihilate the demonic, and to establish real religion. What is real religion? So sometimes the Lord comes Himself, as in the case of Lord Krishna coming and speaking Bhagavad Gita to Arjuna, and sometimes He sends His devotee to carry out that function. And sometimes He comes Himself as His devotee,
as in the case of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So he is Krishna himself, and he comes to the world to teach religion, to establish the society of pure devotees, and to annihilate the demonic. But unlike Krishna, who comes with Sudarshan Chakra and various other weapons to destroy the demon, Mahaprabhu comes with Nama Sankirtan and destroys the demons by changing their nature from demonic to saintly, by, you can say, the contagion of his divine love. All those who come in contact with that, they themselves are also converted to lovers of the Lord. That we see most prominently in the case of Jagai and Madai. So Krishna comes for this purpose, and he explains another very famous verse, Daiviyesha Gunamayi Mamamayadrathe, that who understands my birth and my activities, my janma and my karma? We all have janma and karma. We're all born and we all do something in the world, our janma and our karma. But that is not the same as Lord Krishna's janma and karma. Krishna's janma is fully transcendental, and Krishna's karma, his activities, they are also fully transcendental. They are never touched by the world. And also when Lord Krishna advents himself, he is not under the control of the material nature as we are. We are strictly bound by the laws of the material nature. We cannot cross that, although we think we have liberty, but still we are fully controlled by the laws of nature. So when my godbrother, his daughter, now she's married with children of her own, but when she was a child, young girl, in her school, they live in America, her school teacher, they had to write an essay. What is the special power and position of the President of the United States? And in her essay, she wrote, "He has no power unless God grants him that power." So, and basically, this was the tenor of her essay. Just a small child, maybe 10 years old or something. And she was given like top grade because no one else thought in that way. You know, they were all telling her, "Oh, he's this and he's that," and so on. But she hit the nail on the head. Without the will of the Lord, the consent of the Lord, he has no power. And it is a fact that we are all fully controlled by the material nature. We cannot do anything outside of the will of the Lord. Man proposes and God disposes, as they say. So we have some idea, and we want to do this, and we want to do that. And if the Lord sanctions, maybe it will be successful, and maybe it will not be successful. But still, we are completely dependent on Him. If in a moment He were to withdraw the oxygen from the air, we would all die in a few minutes, isn't it? That much we are dependent on Him and on His nature. But Krishna Himself, Krishna Himself is always above the laws of nature, transcendental to the laws of nature. Just as a king has full liberty to do whatever he wishes within his own kingdom, so the Lord Himself is fully at full liberty to do whatever He likes. And He is not bound by any reaction as we are in this world. So therefore, His janma and His karma, they are divyam. That means they are all divine. And Krishna says, who realizes this truth, considers that Krishna's birth and Krishna's activities in this world are completely spiritual. If one has faith in this, they do not have to take birth again in this material world. This is Krishna's promise. He says this. If you understand this, Arjuna, that my janma and my karma are all divyam, divine, then you do not need to be reborn again in this material world. That's all. It is a simple thing. But who will have faith in that? That is the question. So, when one understands this, then they are released from the bonds of Maya. And by understanding, this is called Dibya Gyan, divine knowledge. They will attain the ultimate peace or spiritual bliss promised to them by the Lord, by taking absolute shelter in Him. Then the Krishna says, as according to how a person surrenders to me, so I reciprocate with them to that degree. So to the degree that we surrender to Krishna, take full shelter of Him, to that degree He gives Himself to His devotee. That devotee becomes enlightened by that transcendental knowledge. So this is called Jnana Yoga, and this is what Krishna is explaining in the fourth chapter. Jnana Yoga, or spiritual knowledge, transcendental knowledge, Prabhupada's name for that chapter, transcendental knowledge. Not the knowledge of the workings of this Maya world, but the knowledge of our relationship with Krishna. Who is Krishna? And who are we? What is our relationship with Him? What is Maya? What is the world? And what are our relationships? How we should act in this material world, in relation to the world, to Krishna, to Maya, and to one another. This is known as Sambandha Gyan, or transcendental knowledge. So those who have surrendered to the Lord, who are submissive to the Lord, they acquire this transcendental knowledge. They are fit for this transcendental knowledge. And how to acquire this transcendental knowledge, Krishna explains, Tadvidi pranipatena pariprashnena sevaya upadekyanti te jnanam jnaninas tattva darshana. So he says, you must find a teacher. Like everything in this material world, or any world, if you want to know about something, you need to find a teacher about that thing. So therefore there are so many schools and colleges and institutes for learning in the world. And whatever it is you're interested in, physics, law, medicine, whatever it is, you'll find a teacher that will teach you that, and you'll find some textbook to study to understand that. So spiritual knowledge is not different from that. Although spiritual knowledge is innate within every jiva soul, it is part of who you are, because in our spiritual essence we are Satchidananda. That means we are full of knowledge. Sat means full of knowledge. But that knowledge now is covered by our material conditioning. And that knowledge is also obscured by our acquired prejudices through lifetime after lifetime after lifetime. So, first of all, you have to find a teacher who is established in the truth. A jnaninas. Tattva Darshina. Who is Tattva Darshi? Who is connected with the Absolute Truth and realizing the Absolute Truth, they will be able to teach that transcendental knowledge to you. They will be able to impart that to you. But some qualification necessary from your side also. And that is, you must have absolute regard for your teacher. That means to be submissive. Not to go to the teacher with a challenging attitude, but with a submissive attitude to want to know the truth. So, pranipat, that means exclusive regard. That means I'm finished with this material world. Although I may be addicted to this material world and trapped within this material world, my desire is to be free from the material world. And so to be free from the material world, I have come to your lotus feet, and I am asking you to please impart this knowledge to me. That is pranipat. And pariprashna. Pariprashna means proper inquiry. To ask question which is relevant to you. Not just knowledge seeking for the sake of knowledge, or for to satisfy your curiosity. But no. First of all, you will have to understand, who am I and where am I? What is my position now, and what is it that I wish to attain? So to go from here to there, what will be the necessary steps for me to accomplish that? This should be the nature of our inquiry. I am in darkness, how will I go to the light? I am in ignorance, how will I go to knowledge? I am suffering, how will I go to blissfulness? These are should be the nature of our inquiry. And last but not least, sevaya. This is also necessary. The goal of our practice will be to enter into the land of service, seva, divine service. So divine service is the nature of the spiritual realm. Vaikuntha. Vaikuntha Vritti. For the service of Vaikuntha, where there is no calculation. That is the spiritual abode. And in the spiritual abode, every living entity there is a dedicating entity. They are fully dedicated to the Supreme Lord. They are fully dedicated, and their serving attitude is reciprocated by the Lord to give them ultimate fulfillment of their existence. As a kind of symbiotic relationship. There, Krishna is the Purusha, and all others are Prakriti. Krishna is the Ishvara, Paramishvara, the supreme enjoyer, and all others are to be enjoyed by him. There everyone is Shakti, and he is Shaktiman. So all are enjoyed by him. All are to be utilized by him. But it is not exploitation, as in this material world, but it is transcendental, blissful exchange of love from the lover and beloved. So, when one is established in the transcendental knowledge, then all doubt and apprehension disappears. No prejudice or ignorance can remain there also. Therefore, Krishna says, there is nothing more holy in this world than knowledge. But in not mundane knowledge, but transcendental knowledge. And that transcendental knowledge is the fruit of Nishkarma Karma Yoga. Nishkarma Karma Yoga means to perform all of our activities only for the pleasure of the Lord, whatever it may be. It is not the activity itself, but rather the attitude with which we carry out that activity. So, whatever you do, if your intention is to satisfy the Lord, then your activity will always be guided in the right way. The proper inner inspiration will come to you, and your path will be clear and clean. This is accomplished by those who have firm faith, who have controlled senses, and steadfast attachment to the Lord's lotus feet. Those who perform this Nishkarma Karma Yoga and attain to the perfection of Jnana Yoga, they attain to the eternal blissful nature of transcendence. So this in summary is the teaching of the fourth chapter of Bhagavad Gita. There are many things that can be inferred or assimilated through that. But more or less, we understand Krishna says that sacrifice of knowledge, or knowledge sacrifice is the term which Guru Maharaj uses, knowledge sacrifice is that is higher than sacrifice of action or sacrifice of things or wealth or so on. But the sacrifice of knowledge. That means to act according to the transcendental knowledge of our relationship with the Lord. So in accordance with that, that means that we will sacrifice our so-called prospect and pleasure and attainment in this material world for a higher purpose. So the sacrifice of knowledge. It doesn't mean, you know, to like throw away your knowledge, but rather to sacrifice according to the proper application of knowledge. So that's being termed a very familiar term for the Gaudiya Vaishnavas, particularly coined by Srila Rupa Goswami and his followers, Jukta Vairagya. So that means proper renunciation. Vairagya means renunciation, but Jukta means appropriate Vairagya. So not to torture oneself. It doesn't mean you have to stand on one leg with your arms raised until fire comes from your head or something like that, or to starve yourself or so on. Not but that kind of Vairagya. Although many of the great saints showed that, like Raghunath Das Goswami, what kind of Vairagya he performed, no one can perform that. Srila Govinda Maharaj said, if you will try to do that, you will die. But he could live like that. But that is another thing. And Srila Guru Maharaj said, the reason why the Goswamis of Vrindavan were so austere is so that although they preach Jukta Vairagya, that means to utilize everything in the Lord's service. That is the proper application of everything. That's the meaning of Jukta, and Vairagya means to renounce, means not to accept that for your own pleasure, but for the pleasure of the Lord. The reason they themselves were so austere to the point that no one else can follow that is so that no one can say that in the name of Jukta Vairagya, the Vaishnavas are just enjoying, essentially enjoying themselves in the name of Jukta Vairagya. So what they have done, the path that the Goswamis have chalked out, it is not possible for us to follow that, or you could say, imitate that. But their teaching we must try to follow, to try to utilize everything properly in Krishna's service. This is the proper utilization of knowledge. So knowledge is of two types. This is also discussed later on. Gyan and Vigyan. So Gyan means knowledge, and Vigyan means, you could say, realized knowledge, or wisdom. Vigyan, you could say, could be translated as wisdom. So wisdom comes with proper realization. And Gyan, knowledge, may just be book knowledge. You know, you read it in the book, you understand it, you appreciate, intellectually you appreciate that. But it hasn't become realized within you. So this is the difference between Gyan and Vigyan. Vigyan means realized knowledge. So realized knowledge is better, is wisdom. I heard someone say, the difference between knowledge and wisdom, knowledge is knowing that a tomato is a fruit. Wisdom is knowing not to put it in a fruit salad. Gyan and Vigyan. Of course, there's a bit of a crass example, but we can understand the meaning of that. So I have some study guides for this chapter and some verses for us to learn. Okay. So does anyone have any questions about this chapter?
I like one sloka, number 10.
Vitaraga Baya Kroda Manmaya Mamupashrita Bhavo Jana Tapasa Putta Madbhavam Agata. Free from attachment, fear, and anger, many persons have taken shelter in me, absorbing their hearts in my services. Purified by knowledge and the fire of ordeal in my service, they attain divine love for me. This is very beautiful. And also it was very nice where Krishna says, even if you are considered the worst of sinners, if you take shelter of this transcendental knowledge, you can cross this ocean of nescience in the boat of this transcendental knowledge. It's very nice. Very nice to conceive that, visually conceive that. Krishna explains the difference between action, inaction, prohibited action, and so on. And something of a, you can say, conundrum. Who sees action in action and action in inaction, they are truly wise, Krishna says. Would anyone hazard a guess as to what that means? Who sees action in inaction and inaction in action? Yes, I wonder, does Prabhupada say anything regarding that? In this?
Which verse was that?
It was verse 16. Kim karma kim akarameti kavyopi artamohita takte karma pravishyami yagyatva mokshase shubhat.
He translates as follows. Srila Prabhupada's translation is follows. Even the intelligent are bewildered in determining what is action and what is inaction. Now I shall explain to you what action is, knowing which you shall be liberated from all misfortune. So the purport, you want me to take the purport?
Yes.
Action in Krishna consciousness has to be executed in accord with examples of previous bona fide devotees. This is recommended in the 15th verse. Why such action should not be independent will be explained in the text to follow. To act in Krishna consciousness, one has to follow the leadership of authorized persons who are in a line of disciplic succession, as explained in the beginning of this chapter. The system of Krishna consciousness was first narrated to the sun god. The sun god explained it to his son Manu. Manu explained it to his son Ikshvaku. And the system is current on this earth from that very remote time. Therefore, one has to follow in the footsteps of previous authorities in the line of disciplic succession. Otherwise, even the most intelligent man will be bewildered regarding the standard of actions of Krishna consciousness. For this reason, the Lord decided to instruct Arjuna in Krishna consciousness directly. Because of the direct instruction of the Lord to Arjuna, anyone who follows in the footsteps of Arjuna is certainly not bewildered. It is said that one cannot ascertain the ways of religion simply by imperfect experimental knowledge. Actually, the principles of religion can only be laid down by the Lord Himself. Dharmam tu sakshat bhagavat pranitam bhagavatam 6319. No one can manufacture a religious principle by imperfect speculation. One must follow in the footsteps of great authorities like Brahma, Shiva, Narada, Manu and Kumaras, Kapila, Prahlada, Bhishma, Sukadeva, Goswami, Yamaraja, Janaka and Bali Maharaj. By mental speculation, one cannot ascertain what is religion or self-realization. Therefore, out of causeless mercy to his devotees, the Lord explains directly to Arjuna what action is and what inaction is. Only action performed in Krishna consciousness can deliver a person from the entanglement of material existence.
Actually, it was verse 18 I wanted to... This verse 18 says, Karmanya karma yat pasyed, akarmani cha karma ya, sa buddhimam manushesu, sa jukta kritna karma krit. One who sees inaction in action and action in inaction is intelligent among men, and he is in the transcendental position, although engaged in all sorts of activities. So, Prabhupada says, a person acting in Krishna consciousness is naturally free from the bonds of karma. His activities are all performed for Krishna. Therefore, he does not enjoy or suffer any of the effects of work. Consequently, he is intelligent in human society, even though he is engaged in all sorts of activities for Krishna. Akarma means without reaction to work. The impersonalist ceases fruitive activities out of fear, so that the resultant action may not be a stumbling block on the path of self-realization. But the personalist knows rightly his position as the eternal servitor of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Therefore, he engages himself in the activities of Krishna consciousness. Because everything is done for Krishna, he enjoys only transcendental happiness in the discharge of his duty or of this service. Those who are engaged in the process are known to be without desire for personal sense gratification. The sense of eternal servitorship to Krishna makes one immune to all sorts of reactionary elements of work. So this is actually Srila Prabhupada has said many times that only who is a devotee of Krishna, only they can understand properly what is the message of Bhagavad Gita. So this appears to be like a riddle, doesn't it? Who sees action in action and inaction in action, they are truly wise. It almost sounds like a Zen aphorism, but it's very plain for the devotees that those who are engaged in devotional service particularly, but even those who are engaged in any type of work, if that is done for the pleasure of Krishna, then that does not bind one to the world. So therefore, it is inaction, if you understand. So whatever you do, because it is not reactionary. And even if you do nothing, if it is not for the satisfaction of Krishna, that will be reactionary. So we can say this is the meaning of that. Within inaction, also karma is there. Action is there, because that in itself is an action, although in a negative sense. So Guru Maharaj says to...
Action in reaction.
Yeah, action in inaction and inaction in action. Yeah, even in inaction, there will be some reaction to that, because it is...
Whatever you karma do, give you reaction.
Yes, and even if you don't do any karma, that Krishna is saying that even then that will be reactionary also. And Guru Maharaj explains that by saying if you work for a company and you, when the boss isn't there, you rob him. You know what people do that, don't they? You know, the boss is away, so they clear out the stationery cupboard and, you know, take money out the till or whatever it is they do. So if you do that, very soon the business will fail, because if the workers are stealing all the profits for themselves, the business will fail. And similarly, if everybody downs tools and goes on strike, the business will also fail. So Guru Maharaj says both are unnatural. So bhukti is like exploiting robbing your boss or your employer. And mukti is like going on strike. So only when one actually works for the good of the company, then everybody profits from that. The workers profit, and the company is successful.
The
boss is happy and so on. So similarly, we are to consider like that. With Krishna as our boss, we are not to try to steal from him, and we are also not to put our tools down and refuse to work for him. So Krishna himself says, "Oh, I have no duty in this world, but if I were not to do anything, everybody would follow my example." So similarly, we have to work for the cause. Srila Guru Maharaj said, "It is no doubt it's a noble to die for the cause, but it is much better to live for the cause. Once you're dead, it's over, right?" So, but when you are, while there is life, then so much contribution you can make. So always better to live for the cause. And Srila Govinda Maharaj used to say, surrender doesn't mean just surrender and lie down, but surrender means to surrender and serve. So this we have to remember. Service has to be there. And it's not just, like a business deal. You know, you do some service, you can get a place to stay, you can get something to eat, and, you know, like that. Not like that. But by serving, we develop the mentality of a servitor. And if we wish to enter into the spiritual world, we have to develop that ego of a servitor. Not as an aggressor, not as an exploiter, and not as a renouncer either. But rather we have to give our energy for Krishna's service, for Krishna's satisfaction. So 10%. Srila Guru Maharaj said about Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur, that he was prepared to spend gallons of blood for the service of Krishna. So we should also be aspiring for that type of mentality. Now we can't artificially imitate that, but that will be necessary for us to try to follow in the footsteps of the Mahajans, as Prabhupada we read. These are the authorities, and they are all 100% devoted to the Lord. Their energy is for the Lord. So Krishna consciousness means to use your energy for the satisfaction of Krishna. And Bhagavad Gita is teaching us that. This is the meaning, the real meaning of Jnana Yoga. Yoga means, of course, to connect with the Lord. This is where the English word yoke comes from. You know, when you yoke a bull to the plow or to the cart or whatever, they put that thing around its neck, that's called the yoke. So that means to, you know, attach the bull to the cart. So yoga means to attach ourselves to Krishna's lotus feet. And Jnana Yoga means to understand the knowledge, spiritual knowledge, that culminates in this. The culmination of all spiritual knowledge is surrender at the lotus feet of the Lord. So that actually that is considered as Gyan Shunya Bhakti. That means devotion even above knowledge. So knowledge can take us so far. Knowledge ends in liberation. And after liberation, it is a different type of knowledge. That is not intellectual knowledge, but spiritual knowledge in the true sense that it's inspired within the heart. So the devotee's every action is an inspired action. It's not that he has to check in the book, does it say that this is okay or not okay. No intellectual exercise is needed anymore in that stage. Only the heart dictates, this will satisfy my Lord. And in that stage, there's no apprehension, there's no doubt, there's no misconception. It is a high stage. But it begins with practicing Nishkarma Karma Yoga. The fruit of, Krishna says, the fruit of Nishkarma Karma Yoga is Jnana. Spiritual sambandha gyan, or the fulfillment of our spiritual awakening. So that develops from beyond intellectual, theoretical knowledge or book knowledge to vigyan, realized knowledge. And realized knowledge in the spiritual sense means that our every action is impelled by the desire to satisfy Krishna. So later on, Krishna says, "My devotee, even if it appears that he does something abominable," in the 10th chapter, Krishna says this, that he should never be considered not to be saintly, because he is situated on the right path. This is a very difficult philosophy to understand. Actually, this point. Guru Maharaj has given this point in his Gita many times, but in his original Gita commentary in Bengali, he did not give that in the purport. And this was because his godbrother, Bhakti Vichar Jajava Maharaj, asked him not to publish this, Maharaj, because it is too dangerous what you are telling. That whatever my devotee does, he should be considered saintly and rightly situated, even if it's something abominable. So, because he is Ananya Bhak. So then Judge Ramayana said, the general people will exploit this like crazy. They will do everything and anything and say, no, I am Ananya Bhak, it's okay. I'm fully devoted to Krishna. He says himself, I can do anything and everything. You must consider me to be a saint. This is Krishna's instruction. So on that plea, Guru Maharaj didn't include that translation in his original Bengali commentary. But when we were publishing it in English, and we found it's not there. I say we, it wasn't me, it was Sagarmaj. But I helped him with his work for that, with some research at the British Library and so on. We did. Guru Maharaj wanted some, told us to find some commentary by Sridhar Swami, and we couldn't find it, but we found it at the British Museum Library, where the Oriental Manuscripts department. There they have the original commentary of Bhagavad Gita and others, but of Sridhar Swami, where we found that. But anyhow, when it came to this commentary, then we asked Guru Maharaj, "But we know you so many times you've explained this to us, but in your original commentary it's not there. Should we publish or not publish?" Then that was when Guru Maharaj told us why he hadn't published previously. Then we asked him, "So in your English commentary we should publish or not?" And Guru Maharaj considered for some time and then he said, "No, you must publish. Because if I do not give it, then who will give it?" So although it is dangerous and can be abused, nevertheless the truth is the truth. And we have to understand this. Actually this explanation was revealed by Bhaktivinoda Thakur. And it is told that the Mahajans, they were debating the meaning of this verse. And they could not understand. They could not understand properly what the meaning was. And it is said that they saw Bhaktivinoda Thakur. Yeah.
That he was passing through.
Yeah. So they saw Bhaktivinoda Thakur walking in the sky, chanting his japa.
Yeah.
This is what we heard. He's walking in the sky chanting his japa, and they told, "Oh, there is a great devotee of Krishna. He can tell the answer to us." And this Bhaktivinoda Thakur gave this revelation. So we should understand that those who are situated in Krishna consciousness, even if they are seen to do something against the scripture, or against morality even, that if they are really devoted to the Lord and surrendered to the Lord, we must still consider them to be saintly. And Krishna says to Arjuna, if you proclaim this to the world, then you will become dharmatma. The general meaning is, even if they have some bad habit or something, because they're rightly situated, they'll become dharmatma. But the debate was, how can they be dharmatma if they're a Nanya Bhak? Then there's no question of them now becoming righteous. So this was their dilemma. What does this mean? Then Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, actually Krishna's telling Arjuna, if you declare this to the world that my devotee is always rightly situated, no matter what he does, you will be dharmatma. And who proclaims this to the world, they will become dharmatma. So, yes, it is a dangerous understanding because it is open to abuse. But still, we should understand that it to be true. And one thing which will help us with that, in Guru Maharaj's Prapanajivanamritam, there he is given a verse in there where he says that something that is dirty but is being washed clean is not the same as something that emanates dirt. They're not the same thing. They may look the same. Both may look dirty. But one is just by nature producing dirt, filth. Whereas the other is covered by some dirt and is being washed, in the process of being cleansed away. So therefore, we should not be too harsh to judge devotees. When we see, whatever we see they may do or not do, we should not be so harsh. And Guru Maharaj says, if we want the Lord to be merciful to us and to give His grace to us when we are telling, oh, we are the most unqualified, we are undeserving, but please you give to me, then how can we say, when we see that somebody else who may appear to be undeserving gets the grace of the Lord, why should we not be happy for that? And why should we? Why are they getting that? They should be. They should be punished what they did. Or, no, rather we should think the other way. How merciful the Lord is. And everyone is struggling in this material world just to maintain themselves. And those who are trying to improve themselves to become a devotee of the Lord, they may also be some remnant there from before. And of course, when you purify something, then what is the dirt inside that has to come out? In this world, most people, their dirty nature, they are keeping inside them in a hidden way.
I suppose the distinguish between Manyabhakti and someone is fallen. So you say, in a minute,
yeah.
Anybody is fallen or whatever.
So. Well, that's the point. The point is, if they are trying to be a devotee, sincerely trying to be a devotee, they may be fallen. But we should not consider that they are abominable. We should consider they are on the right path. So, it is in Krishna's hand. Then, you know, then one time Srila Guru Maharaj, when some other party was criticizing him, and they came and they said, oh, they're telling this about you and that about you, and Guru Maharaj's reply was, only that. Then obviously they don't know me very well, do they? If that's the worst they can say about me, then they don't know how really rotten I am. You know? So, devotee will never consider himself to be, you know, above others. That, you know, if anything, we should think there, but by the grace of God go I, when we see the misfortune of others. But those who are devotees, even if they fall and do something, an abominable thing, we should consider it is in Krishna's hand, not in our hand. We are not judge and jury of anybody. And rather we should mind our own position is better. And also Guru Maharaj said, if you look to the faults in others, you can be sure that those same faults will come to you. Sometimes it is necessary, if it is your service, then you may have to judge who is fit, who is not fit to do some service. Then you may have to consider what is their character and so on. But other than that, you should not think too harshly about anybody. Like if you have to consider who can worship the deity. You know, sometimes I have to say, someone will come, they want to do service to the deity. Then I'll have to consider what are their practices. Are they living purely and following nicely and so on? Yeah, so, but just because someone was initiated a few years ago and wears a string around their body doesn't mean that qualifies them. We will have to distinguish. But are they practicing nicely or, you know, what? Yeah. But not for judging them, but for the service of the Lord. Sometimes we will have to do that. But we are not to unnecessarily find fault with others, and especially those who are trying to be devoted to Krishna. It is not a short path, it is a long path. We have to be in it for the long run. So we do not know, nobody knows what a person's backstory is, do we? You know? What has brought you to where you are today? We don't know what things have happened in their life. So everybody has something. Everyone has some skeleton in their cupboard. And most people want to keep that cupboard closed. They don't want to show that to the world. But you see, the thing is, when you make ghee, right? If you've ever made ghee, you put the butter in the pot and you heat it. And as it heats, the solids, they float to the top. You have to skim them off. And you keep skimming them off until there's no impurities left within there. Then you just have the oil, the butter oil, which is the pure ghee. It can take a long time to do that. So when someone's practicing, trying to practice sadhana bhakti, many impurities may come to the surface. And you may see something in their nature which has come to the surface, which you may find as very disturbing. they also may find very disturbing. Oh, I was never like that before. You know, how come that's come up? I'm worse than I was before I became a devotee. But this is the nature. In homeopathic medicine, it's called the law of cure. The law of cure means it has to get better before... I mean, it has to get worse before it gets better. The symptoms have to come to the surface. Then they can leave. Rather than suppressing the symptom. Modern medicine is more interested in suppressing the symptom. So you can get on with your life, you know. Take some pills, the symptom will go away. But it hasn't cured the disease, it's just pushed it a bit deeper down. That's going to come up again some other time. In homeopathic medicine, the law of cure means the symptom will come to the surface first. So similarly, when we practice sadhana, the symptoms of our impurity, that must come to the surface first. Then we have to deal with that and hopefully get rid of that. When it comes to the surface, we can push it back down again and it'll come up another day in another way. Or we deal with it. We face it and we deal with it. Now, this is a good thing. But sometimes that may cause a disturbance. When that comes to the surface, it may cause a disturbance in the life of the devotee and in the life of those around them. We should not be too harsh, and we should try to be patient. Because if we want Krishna to be merciful to us, then we should hope that Krishna will be merciful to all others also. Anyway, these are some thoughts from this chapter. And who knows that? Who knows that? The meaning of action in inaction and inaction in action. Krishna says they are a yogi. And they can perform all kind of activity in this world but not be affected by that. So, with this sword of knowledge, at the last verse, with this sword of knowledge, Arjuna, then... cut down the doubt and rise for battle. There's a call to us all. With real knowledge, sambandha gyan, we can get some strength of purpose. We can dispose of our cowardice, of our doubt, of our inaction, and rise to the cause which Krishna is calling us for. So we'll finish here today. Hari Haraye Namah Krishna Janavaya Namaha. Janavaya Madhavaya Keshavaya Namaha.
Janavaya Madhavaya Keshavaya Namaha.
Gopal Govindaram Shri Madhusudan.